Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate, and I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we are going to kick off 2025 with a look ahead to the energy that's here for us and how we can align ourselves to the energy of the year, not only what's happening for us, I think, on a massive scale, which we've been talking about in our last few episodes in 2024, but also how personally there is an energy that shows up for each of us. I don't think that we wander through life blindly just being subject to the experiences of our lives and the events with complete randomness. There is a flow, there is a path we are following. And when we tune into the energy that is present for us, we can understand our path, we can align to it, we can work with it, and we can, I think, in some ways, hold the challenges that might come with that energy in a different way because it's here for us to learn and it's just something for us to move through. And also, we wanted to start the new year with a different approach to this time of year. Often it is a time where people start to think about New Year's resolutions. And as we move into a new paradigm, I think resolutions are so 2024 and before. And now it's time for us to have a different way of focusing on looking forward that really actually serves us and helps us move forward in more intentional, focused, aligned, meaningful ways where we can actually actualize and experience true inner change. And I think it's inner change that creates outer change. So let's focus on the inner change and how we can do that. So, Amanda, Happy New Year. Welcome.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, thanks. Excited to unpack today's topic. So, as I said there, I think, you know, now's the time of year and I love, you know, a fresh start. I love the start of a week. I love the start of a month. And I especially love the start of an entire new year. To me, it just feels so fresh and potential filled. And like it, to me, when I look ahead, I think it's like a big blank canvas in some ways, right? Like I get excited about what's ahead. And of course, you know, it's not always just the fun stuff, but you know, what we talked about this in our last episode, it's amazing what can happen in a year and how much can shift and change. So what I love doing at this time of year is really feeling into what I want from the year rather than what do I want to change and fix about myself? So as a coach, I have over the years, you know, been a, what do you call it? Someone who peddles New Year's resolutions. And then at some point I got to a place where I was like, you know, this feels so negative. It feels really like, you know, any of the resolutions I was making was I was looking at the things that weren't working, quote unquote, weren't working, what I didn't like about myself, what I still hadn't accomplished. And I really felt like when I was setting those things up, I was coming at them from a place of lack and scarcity and negativity and a lack of self-love. And to me, that really felt like, well, why would I follow through on things that come from that energy? Like if I'm striving to do something because I feel like I'm lacking, that's not a very self-loving action to be taking. So I decided to quit resolutions and move to things like being more intentional, like what were my intentions for the year? And a way that I found helpful to do that was choosing words that I wanted to kind of bring into the year. And what I, you know, feel like, you know, this is a great place that we can start when we ditch intentions and really want to align with what's alive for us in our lives and being intentional. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, being creators of our reality. I think this is a tool that helps us step into being creators, because we're choosing them, I feel, from a more loving place, a growth-oriented place, an approach of really wanting to bring more into our lives rather than I'm lacking, so I need this to feel better about myself. We're standing at this intention with, I'd love to experience this part of my life in an expanded way, or I'd like to bring more joy to this area of my life, or I'd like to see, you know, this part of my life or who I am grow. So I feel like there's such a different energy to them. And as I say that, like, I think too, when we choose to align ourselves to intentions as opposed to a goal, there's a very different way that we sort of set that up. And so when I think about resolutions, it feels very mental to me, you know, like we're, and I don't know, I just feel like it's like picking myself apart, like this needs to be different, you need to change that. Whereas when I lean into the words and my intentions, it's about feeling into what's here for me now. So it's a more embodied way of choosing to align ourselves. And we're really starting to tap into feeling what's the energy that's present for me right now. So where would we go with that?
Yeah. As you're talking, I think for those listening, if resolutions are where maybe you've been operating from and more from the vantage point of there's something wrong that needs fixing, I think that probably the first step is maybe this year is about greater self-acceptance and letting go of what we're holding on to in terms of what we believe is wrong with us. And I think that's probably the first step in order to then to operate from more of a creator perspective. I think we have to come to terms with all the parts of us rather than focusing on, you know, thinking that focusing on things that need to be fixed and somehow that's by focusing on the negative, we're going to create positive change in our lives. That's a bit contradictory. And so I would say probably maybe an intention might be about where do I need to love myself more? Where could I? Maybe the word need is like a should, or like that's pressure too. But it's like, where can I come into greater relationships with the parts of me that I have a hard time feeling compassion for, accepting, loving unconditionally? And so maybe going on an exploration journey with those parts of ourselves that we want to hide or change or shame or judge. And how can you start asking the questions of like, how can I deepen or change the relationship with these parts of me rather than think that I need fixing some. I've just done a rabbit hole in the past 2 days with some things I might want that I'm thinking about offering, but it's about how can we know our kids, who they are, using the gene keys on a soul level, and to help them be who they're authentically are. How can we know ourselves better so we can know where our strengths can help guide them and where maybe our challenges might clash with parts of them? And so what's exciting for me about this is that, you know, you and me, we've talked a lot about being more of who we authentically are. And we're on these journeys in our 40s, you know, coming into greater acceptance of who we are and being able to, you know, let go of the parts of us that didn't allow us to fully be who we authentically are. And so I think this, what the time that we're in now is about helping our kids to not have to be in their 40s and trying to figure out who they are. And so I guess where I'm going with that is like, yeah. So to me, I guess I come back to the tools that like the gene keys, the human design, the astrology, in terms of getting to know ourselves better. And something that's come up with this is like, yeah, how do we reparent ourselves to allow ourselves to be our authentic selves and the parts of us that, oh, it's in that book that I'm reading by Deborah Silverman. Yeah, about the elements and all about accept, like really loving the weirdness and the parts of ourselves that we learned that we should hide or not be. That's what we're meant to be doing. And so, yeah, I guess the long-winded answer is that, like, how can we love the parts of us that we feel we need to change rather than feel that we need to, you know, be like others, you know, conform, attain a certain standard that we've internalized from the external about who we're supposed to be, whether it be physically, whether it be mentally, emotionally, any parts of us. And so, I don't know, I think an exploration of maybe where aren't we accepting and loving of ourselves would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Step one. I rushed into the like step five. No.
That's, you know, it's all spiral, right? Like we all can get different parts of it. And some of us might may already be on the self-acceptance journey, right?
Yeah.
I think that's, maybe there's not like, maybe it's not linear either.
No, exactly. But I think beautifully said though that, you know, a way to be, you know, begin the new year when we can pause for a moment to see where we have been holding ourselves in, I think, even our own sense of limitation, because this isn't good enough about me. This isn't enough about me. I'm inadequate in these areas, you know, and I still have that feeling come up from time to time. I literally journaled on it yesterday and then I had to have it just let myself be in the sad sackness of that. And then in the evening, you know, coming to realize, okay, that's I'm allowed to feel that sometimes. And there's also an opposite that's true, you know, like it's just a fear lens when we're looking at ourselves from those sort of that lens of not enoughness and inadequacy. So, yeah, I talk a lot about too, like just embracing those parts of self in those moments with as much compassion as we can. Like it's okay to feel that. And you're also amazing as you are. You're perfect as you are. And, you know, I think that's what I've loved about our podcast is like our weirdness is what makes us interesting and different. And, you know, it's exactly as 40-something-year-old women, we've had to spend a fair bit of time being able to get to this point to like really own that. And I love that you're helping parents like embrace that about their children, because you know I can see so many stop points in my life where you know you can't help but be yourself. And I was thinking this as I was journaling yesterday and feeling the sad sickness of actually I've always been weird, I've always been different, I couldn't be any other way, right? It was hard sometimes in my head. So it's like, you know, I think it's a paradox. So you talk about paradoxes, like, or two things are true at the same time. I can feel like it's so hard to be authentic, and yet I'm never not authentic. I'm always going to be authentic, you know? And it's like, it's just really a, where are we looking at that from? What are we experiencing at any given time? And, you know, that really is when we're feeling the inadequacy. I think we're really in our humanness. We're really in that ego part of us where at the same time as that exists, and it's true because that's what we are, the other part exists that like we're perfect as we are. There's nothing wrong with us. And yeah, if we can, you know, want to make that shift into that, the other lane of like, we are amazing and unique and we should share more of that with the world, that process for us to move into that, to then choose more intentionally is exactly, you know, a process of self-acceptance, as you said there, and coming to look at those parts of us with just genuine love and care. And there's a journey to that as well, you know. And so as we make that shift and, you know, use that as a sort of fuel for us, you know, when we can make that shift over to at least standing at the doorway of, all right, I'm willing to be more accepting and loving of myself. What we can then choose to do here is, as I just said, like be more intentional rather than what do I need to fix? What's broken? What's not working? We move to another lens of our lives, looking ahead, going, how do I want to expand? I think expand was a big word that came forth to me, of like an area of my life or an aspect of me, like maybe that's being more outwardly authentic, although, as I said, you are always being authentic, but there's more we can always express and reveal and show if that's, you know, what you're feeling called to do. And so I come back to the words. The words, I think, can be a great way for us to feel into where do I really want to, you know, explore something this year. And whenever I sit to think about my word, as I said, and I just use words I probably want to retract, think about, you're going to think about it, but you're also going to feel into. So you can mentally go, oh, what are my words? And then drop that awareness from your thoughts into your body. And I want to say, you know, like, what feels true and aligned for you, you know, and like sit and do a little meditation of like, what is a word? You can start with one word that would encapsulate what I'd like to experience this year. And it's a whole year. But I also want to say that if we can get quiet enough and tune in, it's not really something we have to try and conjure up or figure out. It's in the space around us. Like, it's in the energy around us of what's here for us. What's the thing we are being called to look at and, you know, focus on. And so I want to ask you, you know, we've talked about a word. You have tapped into something. What was that word and how did you bring that about for you to get that sense of what that word is for you?
Well, what came in through meditation was creating space. So, which is might feel contradictory from doing, right? Like, what do I need to do to accomplish what I want to accomplish? And maybe the obstacle for me creating what I want to accomplish is that I don't have enough space to allow myself the flow or the mental energy, physical energy, energetic, you know, spiritual energy to create the things that I feel called to create. And so I create a lot of things for other people, and that is in a way blocking my ability to create what I feel called to create for myself. And part of that might be my own, I'll say, self-sabotage. You know, it's like if I stay busy, then I don't have to risk doing this thing that might feel a little bit vulnerable. And so, but this last year, like, I have been feeling that 2024 has ended with this build up to something different in 2025. And so it feels like it's time for a next phase, a next opportunity. And so, yeah, so it's going to be something so simple that when we are living out of alignment with that intention, that phrase, we can, or if something comes up and that's not in alignment with what we set our intention for, it can help us make decisions about what we want to do. Do we want to, rather than having like, okay, I'm going to set this goal and I'm going to be on this like rigid schedule and have these checklists. It's like it allows for the fluidity of life to come to us, right? So it's more of, you know, I think that how I like to operate is like, I like to, you know, say we're on a path, take a few steps, and then reevaluate from that new vantage point, like which direction I want to go. And I think if we have that intention, that word, then we can, it helps us make the decision of which direction to go. To be in alignment with our overall vision, intention, but it allows us to, in real time, work with what's coming at us rather than be like, oh, well, I decided back on January 1st that I was going to do this. So I'm going to have to say no to that, even though it's in alignment with the intention, you know, an intention that you want, but because it didn't look like maybe what you thought it was going to look like on January 1st. So I feel like it's more of a dynamic way to kind of work with life and what wants to present to us. And yeah, so it's like we're in this co-creation role by setting this intention and then allowing, you know, and by sending that intention, I feel the universe gives us what we're seeking, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but it's up to us to recognize it and discern and mm-hmm. choose and mm-hmm. maybe get like of patterns that maybe that we used to or that we're used to doing. Mm. And so it might mean like making some different choices. And so, you know, I think that's very different than, okay, it's the beginning of the year. It's now it's time for me to, this is it. This is the mm. time that I need to make the change. I can't make those changes anytime else in the year, right? Like this is the only time of the year that I can start something new, which that's interesting way to mm-hmm. like view things, right? Like, yeah. and then I failed. Okay. Well, I'm just yeah. going to go back to how I was living last year and mm-hmm. maybe I'll try again next year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like, isn't that
yeah.
weird?
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like words have like so much power mm-hmm. and by focusing on them and by continuing to ask questions with those intentions in mind, we can, yeah, we're always kind of in dialogue with how to have with what steps are next for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think, you know, intentions just give us so much more breadth and space, and it's a journey. You know, it's a way of being. It's a way of showing up. And it's something that we're continuously building and choosing again and again and again. And it's a place, as you said, that we get to stop and reflect on that word, on that intention. Like, how am I doing? Have I been giving that my energy and focus? And then we can create, you know, an opportunity to deepen into that more. And I think intentions really do, and I wrote this down, but it creates more opportunity for expansion. You know, it actually creates opportunity for growth. Whereas I think that single pointed, I want this in my life. Yes. Yes. But it feels so rigid and cold. And like, if I don't get it, I failed. Whereas, you know, intention, you know, with that breath, there's room for it to be you to be aligned to it and not aligned to it. And you're always able to come back and forth and go, oh, I'm not focusing on that. I'll refocus. And, you know, you're choosing again and again and again to come back to this area of your life or this intention or this focus. And there's no like, oh, you failed. It's always that work in progress energy, like you said, because mm-hmm. there's more room for that. That the point is to refocus and refocus, to reflect, how am I doing? You know, have I given my energy? How is it showing up in my life now? What else is it teaching me through the seeking to expand this area? So I think there's more room for growth and less of that sense of, yeah, like, rigidness. And I don't know, just that rigidness of a goal to me is filled with pit holes of how well we're not doing. And then this, that sort of, you know, mental voice coming in of like beating us up for that. And so that's why we give up. Whereas in this intention realm and these words, like the whole point is the growth and the ups and the downs of it is like, what do I need to do to continue to show up for it? So that's why I really, really like to choose those words. And so for me, when I sat with it, and I have done this a few years in a row now, so they kind of come to me through the last months of the year. And, you know, often at the end of the year, I'm reflecting on the year that had been and where am I now? And so what am I feeling called for the year ahead? And the words that came forward for me were leadership, which I feel like is, you know, all of 2024 was leading me to a place of like owning that. I had to do the prep for that. So that feels very alive for me. Scary, but alive. Community. I feel like 2024, while I'm not alone, felt lonely in some senses. I live in a very small Japanese village in a mountain where, you know, once winter's over, there's hardly anyone here. And I want that. So my focus will be to create it through my business, through maybe through our podcast, but like, how can I build the community that I'm seeking instead of waiting for it to come to me? And then another one I had was intimacy. And so that kind of ties in with leadership and community. Like, how do I want to be in those spaces? And, you know, even in my own lives, like tending to my relationships in a deeper way. And so, you know, I use those as my guideposts for the year, and they weave into one another, and it's sort of like these, you know, circles that I can dip into, and they feed each other in certain ways. And then at the end of the year, I'll sit to reflect and see, you know, how did I build on those? How did those areas expand for me? And then from that, what is next? And so, you know, I feel like it's a way just to be so intentional about the areas we want to grow in and to align to the things that we really, really want to have because they feel like they're going to add, you know, something to our lives. Whereas that, you know, as we said, sometimes our resolutions can be just so lack oriented.
Yeah. And then we can even, I think, with that, take stock of like, where are we currently and what is working for us and mm-hmm. how can we maybe expand upon what is mm-hmm. working? How can we do mm-hmm. more of that? How can we amplify that? And so I think probably for you or for anyone, it's like you have those areas and then what does that look like? Like really like visioning and what is your ideal like relationship community leader? What does it look like to lead? What does it feel like to lead? And what is a leader? How does a leader behave? And mm-hmm. the leader that you envision yourself being, maybe not necessarily the leadership that, you know, you learned as leadership. Like yes. what does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. And I think really to begin to embody that is, yeah, like what in your current life, like how are you going to implement that? And that's, you know, part of the, and that's not necessarily like having a checklist and a goal list or whatever, but it's just like having, like creating that archetype in your mind. So then you can step into that and envision yourself in that. And then it's a lot easier to start doing the behaviors that support that quality, that characteristic, that energy that you're envisioning is like another way that we can begin to feel into those intentions and what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm also going to say that you mentioned about failure. And I think that's like, at least for myself, a learned energy that comes from school. I think it comes from, you know, family of origin. It's like an older energy of like, it's like binary. It's like black and white. You either pass the test or you don't pass the test, right? Like mm-hmm. versus before I got on this call and I'm like in this like project and I feel tired and it's not really to my liking. I spent all this time on it and it's like, well, like operating from the failure paradigm where you either succeed or you fail, that I think letting go of that a bit or examining that, seeing where that's operating within us. And then because, yeah, even though I'm not done yet, but even though it feels like it's not to my liking, even through the imperfection, I'm learning a lot through it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so anything we like decide to take on, whether it seems like it's contributing to our work or our purpose, or it's all teaching us something. And so looking at through the lens of learning and growth, and even the things that feel like maybe from the outside, if we're having to justify ourselves to another person or explain or be judged externally, like maybe something might seem like a failure, but if we recognize like, what are we getting out of this? What is it teaching us? It's like everything in our path is for us to grow, expand and learn. And I think if we're operating from that framework, we can get so much more out of it than like, oh, this thing doesn't look that good. I'm a failure. I just wasted all that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, how do we want to engage with the things that we choose to take on in our lives? And yeah, so I think like looking at our operating systems, right? Where are we operating from those systems of limitation, right? If we're going to look at like, how can we do a new year from a more of a expansive viewpoint, it's like, yeah, where can we in our daily lives look at our beliefs? I think you mentioned, you said something about our beliefs about, you know, what we're going to step into and what do we believe is possible for us, right? Like start questioning, like, we want something, like, do we believe it's possible? Do we like that version of ourselves? Yeah. And I'm starting to challenge some of those, the programming that maybe has been on autopilot, you know, I feel like
I'm always uncovering new layers of old systems that are coming up for evaluation and healing and release. And so, where can we, something that we could look at in the new year is like, what, not from like a resolution perspective, but like, what do we want to release just as much as like, what do we want to step into? Like, what do we feel done with in our life? Like, what do we see is not serving us? And what do we wish to like physically remove from our energetic being? I feel like in my meditation a lot, I'm like clearing out energy and so there's stuff stuck in us that we're carrying around. And in order to, if we wish to be more expansive and to move into new ways of being, we do have to let go of old ways of being. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, being aware and being conscious of what's coming up for us presently. Like, cause that's what wants to be let go of if it's there in our consciousness. And so I guess, what are some ways that we can suggest for people to start, both whether it's letting go of things or stepping into more expansiveness? Like, what are some practices that we can suggest for people so they can start embodying more of a creator role in the new year, if that's not already something they're have integrated or are working with? What do you think?
Well, I love that I just want to note that you said your word was creating space, and then you just said, you know, letting go of energies, because you've got to, if something's in, as you said, in your awareness or in your experience, and it's a repeated pattern, for you to experience a new one, we have to let go of that to make the space for something new to be there. And so it's like doing that work exactly of intentionally, once again, as you said, what is present for me, and like doing a review. A loving review, you know, not what I hate about my life. How do I suck? Lovingly taking stock and saying, okay, what are the ways that I show up that I've noticed about myself that don't serve me, that hold me back, that feel like a limitation? And, you know, doing that exploration work of where does that come from? What do I need to know more on a deeper level, like an inner child level, to just get in touch with that part of self, to make that connection, to see what is needed so you can give it to yourself and kind of like close that loop, close that door. You know, exactly, doing that review of the, you know, what doesn't feel like it's in alignment for me or doesn't serve. And I feel like, as you were talking about, you know, we're talking about energy here, we don't even have to go into the mental story of how, you know, we're not good enough. We can feel it energetically. These thought patterns, behaviors, even, we feel the mismatch. Doesn't feel expansive. It feels contractive. It feels cold. It feels negative. Negative approaches to our life have a different energy to the ones where we feel expansive, because the things we're doing for ourselves have more love in them. So, you know, start to really discern those. How do I feel when I do this? How do I feel when I do that? Do I want to do less of that thing that makes me feel, you know, feel small, feel limited, feel like I want to change myself in a negative way? Or, you know, and how can I align myself to the things that feel like lovingly expanding and growing and attending to parts of self that want to blossom? I think that, you know, as you said, like what we can do, like we have to begin to sort of just be the wise one in our lives. You know, we have the wisdom, we have the knowledge. It's the relationship we're having with ourselves. And that is sort of like doing that inner reflection lovingly, and then just seeing what we excavate, but using that as kind of fuel for, what can I do differently? You know, you have the choice, and you really don't need anyone outside of you to tell you what to do differently. You know, we can guide ourselves. I think, you know, once we want to do bigger things in life, it's great to have mentors and help and support, because big fears come up, and it's great to have community and support. But to start, we want to cultivate that within ourselves. You know, and I think I spoke about that in our last episode in 2024, was, you know, there's two parts of us, the part that fears and the part that's, you know, has the courage and the strength and is the one that wants to move forward. And in my mind, it's kind of, you know, the ego and then, you know, our mindset and our soul that's driving us forward for the growth. So how can you create a more balanced relationship with those two parts of self? Because I think when we start out in our awakening journey or pre-awakening, where we can often be just stuck in the fear, it's a large force at times, but our awakening is helping us realize that we are both and what we need to do to integrate them both so that we can feel the fear, tap into the strength of our creator energy, ourselves as souls, to choose the thing that's going to help us move forward, but taking fear with us with a loving hand, because, you know, fear's real, but this part of you is real as well. And this is where the joy is going to come from, that side of really expressing more of the truth of who we are and exploring that. What would you add to that?
Yeah, what came up while you were talking was that, you know, you talked about mentors and how it's like, I think there's an old way of being is waiting for permission, waiting, you know, seeking approval, thinking the answers are outside of ourselves. And really, I think we have access to everything we need, whether it's inside of ourselves and or, you know, the answers are in books. The answers are like the answers don't cost a lot of money. You know, if we feel called to feel nudged to learn about something, like we can find a book. I mean, books don't cost that much to begin exploring and going deep with something. And so, and I think like taking the steps like that just lead to another step. And, you know, there is such thing as too much, but I think as we go along our paths, we have to learn to discern as well. And, and I think part of the journey is learning to take stuff in and evaluate it and see what works, what we feel is true and what we feel is not true. And I think that's part of the path that a lot of us are on. And so, yeah, just making the choice to like, how can we seek what it is that will serve us in the next part of our journey? And then I feel like what I've kind of been working with, like I'm going to say for the last 6 months is like, you know, maybe I'm listening to a book and then it will stimulate curiosities and thoughts and ideas. And then that will lead to like the next stepping stone on my path of like, okay, now I'm going to explore this a little bit. And yeah, I think it's good to have both community, but it's also really important to have our own practice and our own way of like self-cultivation and not waiting for someone else to like give us permission to change our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we learned that through like schooling and our parents and, you know, depending upon who your parents were and are. Mm-hmm. And we unconsciously, I think we learned that like that I'm not until someone else tells me I can be the authority of my life, can I be that? And so, yeah, it's like, where can we have agency and take the steps? And, and so it's like, if we have certain words come up for ourselves, certain intentions, it's like, how can we seek the new information to help those words grow and expand? Like, what is that going to become? Like, and it's through, you know, say a word is like, say you feel called to like channel or something, or doesn't have to even be something like that, but say, or you want to like cultivate your abilities, your extrasensory abilities. It's like, can wait for some energetic shift, or you can start seeking the information, the wisdom, the people that have already gone that path and they've cultivated those things and start learning from them. Because I feel like it sparks something inside of us of like how we can do it. And maybe we're not going to follow the exact recipe of other people, but it's like, maybe we take a little bit from this person and a little bit from this person, and it becomes our own way of doing things. And so I'd say like, I think if we have these intentions, it's like when information about that comes in front, passes our way, it's like act and like know that like we are being given a little a breadcrumb for the growth and cultivation of that intention mm-hmm. that we set for ourselves. And so, and, you know, it's like not, we don't know, need to know how, you know, we can journal about, you know, how we might envision these things to come about, right? Like imagine for you leadership, because you have this intention, it's going to come, opportunities are going to come to you that you can't quite imagine at this moment in time. Maybe you can imagine the energy, but like the how and the physical form might come in ways that you aren't fully aware of right now. And so, yeah, it's just like just choosing to cultivate and like be this, like dancing with the energy of the intention that we're setting to see how that wants to evolve and transpire mm-hmm. over the course of the next year. Because, yeah. right, we can set the intention right now. And at the end of 2025, like, we don't know how, what this is going to look like if we commit to, yeah, being with it, being present with it and really following what comes to us by doing that. And yeah, so like, how can we remember, like what can we do to like really not forget these intentions that we set for ourselves? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, would you suggest like making, you know, writing it physically, yeah. like putting it in your space? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, as you said a little while back, like, once these words come up for you, like, what does it mean for you, right? Okay, leadership. That can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, right? And, I mean, we have societal ideas of what that means, but what does it actually mean to you? How would you lead? How would you show up differently? You know, what do you do differently? And then exactly exploring how that feels for you so you know what energy you're aligning to and what is the you in that expression so that you know how to tap into it. Maybe within that you can think about, you know, the areas of your life that you're going to apply that, but then at the same time, when those opportunities come up in life, because even as you said that, I was like sensing that there'd be opportunities in the year where I have to take the lead totally outside of where I thought this was going to show up. But that's because I've chosen to be in the leadership role where I'm being asked to do it outside of what maybe feels comfortable in my mind when I project forward. What is leadership going to look like? So being open to those other opportunities. But yes, I think journal on them. I'm a big journaler. But if you find journaling challenging, maybe just write the word down and think about what that means or talk it out. Have the word, yeah, sticky note, put it on your wall. If you vision board, put it on your vision board or just stick it on your computer if you're someone who works from your computer, like have it somewhere for sure. And I think when we do think about intentions or those words as intentions, looking ahead of like, well, why is that word important to me? Because obviously if it's coming up, there's a reason why we're wanting to express it. And then where am I going to do that? Where do I want to do that? Where am I intentionally going to show up in that way? And think about that. So kind of create the vision as you said. So yeah, getting clear on your vision, have the words around you. A book I'm reading at the moment, and I don't know if I can remember what it's called, but it's something about manifestation and the science and neuroscience behind it. And you know, so much of what he's saying in there is this visioning in your mind, that imagining of this intention that you have with great detail. So we're kind of imagining the how, so that we can imprint it into our subconscious, so that we can really set the intention in a visual way. And at the same time, as you said, take our hands off a little bit of the exact how. It doesn't exactly have to appear as you imagine it, but the more richness you can hold of that vision of yourself, we're really creating an energy and a feeling within ourselves that is going to attract these opportunities for us to lead outside of that particular vision. But getting a really strong vision. So something that I know that you've done before is recording so that you can continue to listen to it. Maybe you bring it into your meditations. If you have a couple of words, maybe one week you want to focus on one word or let them fluidly show up for you. But how can you reinforce that and potentially even do a monthly review, a quarterly review or a half year to, you know, continue to show up with intention. Like, it's an intention. It's something you're choosing to give your energy to or align to. So, you know, that's different to, it's not different to a goal. I think your goal, you choose your steps, but intentions, I think they're really, the reflection part here is a touchstone, but really you move forward with that intention of, I want to be like this. And yeah, so visioning, even like, well, what does that version of me look like? You could do a little meditation and call in the leadership version of you, or the version of you at the end of 2025 who's done this whole year of being in the leadership community. Who is she? What does she know about what you're going to do? What's the energy? How does she look? How does she dress? Like, what's her energy like? And then like, vision that, hold that. And when we want to actually intentionally take action in that new way, call that version of us in, call that energy of us in. Anything else you want to add to that of how we can really be looking at
it? Yeah, thanks for reminding me about the recording. I need to do that. That's something that was introduced to me by someone that I know locally who has a really cool story. Maybe we need to have her on our podcast because she's a remarkable person who has created a really amazing life through, and it all came through listening to recordings of her intentions. And she's helped many people around the world in developing nations to get out of really terrible situations through creating visions for themselves.
Yeah, wow.
And yeah, she's a really remarkable person. And yeah, so it's writing it down, and it's also, you know, playing it back to us. Like, how can we reprogram our mind to believe that we can be that this person?
Yeah.
And she, you know, she, I want to say it was in the 80s is when she started doing this, and she learned to make the recording with Baroque music. So like, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, that sort of music that is helps with our nervous system. And so you record it, you record it to, and you can do other types of music, but back then that was what she learned to do. And yeah. And so it, you can just like listen to it every day and subconsciously reprogram your mind, or program your mind to believe you already are that person. And then you can start living from that energy. And it, interestingly, you know, she tells this really fascinating story how it's like, yes, this is not that crazy of an idea now, but back then in the 80s, she really had to like have faith in what she was doing as she was like listening to these recordings, like cassette tapes, essentially. Yes. Like, it's a lot easier to do this sort of thing now than it was back then. So, but I think that, yeah, we can write these things, what it looks like. What does it feel like? Why do we want to, you know, what is leadership going to bring to your life? Like, what, you know, and really feeling into like what that the joy or the positive feelings that you are going to have by stepping into this version of you. I think the more that we can imagine that and revisit that, be clear on that, really, it's like, why do we want, maybe, I don't know, maybe we feel that's the next step for us, but what is that going to bring to our lives? And what is our life going to look like? The more that we can picture that and imagine it, maybe even draw it, if you're artistic, you know, write it, speak it, and, you know, maybe not share it with those that are naysayers too, right? Like, keep it to ourselves, keep it to those that are supportive of us. And, you know, we don't need to be taking on other people's doubts and limitations in the process as we're trying to step into a new version of who we are. And so, you know, protecting this, our visions, rather than putting it out there for anyone's, you know, and they might not be doing it out of, from a, like a malicious stance, but more it's they're projecting their own limitations, and we want to, cocoon. It's kind of like a seed, you know, you have to keep it for it to grow and for it to blossom. It has to be kept safe while it grows. And for myself, like the thing that I feel like I'm like very, was a big leap of faith for myself and like required like a lot of growth and belief in my abilities was, you know, moving abroad. And that was something that was, I credit being able to do it
by not telling people that had their own beliefs about doing something like this, because I had to cultivate and develop that belief within myself in order to build the thing, because I had, you know, I had my own doubts. And so if I let anyone else's doubts in, I don't think I could have done it, because I would have, because, you know, what happens when, you know, a doubt comes in, if we feed that doubt, we're just going to go down the pathway of like, oh, I just should give up because this is not going to come about. And so it's like, how can we, who are the people that have more of an expansive, positive belief system that is going to support you in whatever it is that you're trying to step into? It's like, maybe those are your safe people that you can tell about it if you really want to tell someone about it. And not until it's like you feel more solid and sturdy in what you're doing, then can you start to share it with other people. Like that's what,
I think that's beautiful. Because I think, you know, they're our intentions to nurture and help blossom, right? Like this is our work, our inner work. And I think it's a beautiful image to think of it as like something that we're planting in a seed that, you know, there's quite vulnerable until it has this firm roots and, you know, maybe a bit stronger stalk once it started to grow. And then we can share it with people because it's our convictions, our sense of, you know, empowerment, our embodiment of truth, of alignment that we really want to cultivate and have a strong foundation in, you know, and that's our inner work to do. So I think that's a great point. And I think the other thing that you said there too about that Baroque music, when we're visioning the book, I remember what it's called now, it's called Magic Mind. And he speaks a lot about the nervous system. We have to calm the nervous system to be able to get ourselves into a place where we're able to reprogram or choose different thoughts, because if we're in fight and flight, certain parts of the brain aren't even active and we can't override that. We're just in fear. And so when we're in fear, other potentials aren't possible. And we're only focusing on our survival. So another great point. And I think the other thing too, when we're thinking about these intentions, yes, first and foremost, where is this going to help me expand in my life? Also, how is it going to impact others if I fully, you know, embrace whatever this is? Maybe it's self-love, maybe it's authenticity, maybe it's joy. If I'm focused on that and I'm expanding that area of my life, how does that change other people's lives as well? Something he talks about in that book is even for our manifestations, that when we're the why behind them goes beyond our own needs, they can be so much more powerful because we're serving others in a way. And I mean, yes, first and foremost, our intentions can be helping us to improve our own lives. But when you think about it, if we do improve and enhance our own part of our life, we show up differently. How does that impact others? And so what does that extra benefit you giving that focus have on those around us? And I think in that bigger picture, you know, that's how we change the world, right? That's how we change this crazy place we live in, by, you know, giving ourselves these experiences of, I can create a different way for me to experience my life by giving it intentional focus and like really cultivating new things within me, more authentic, loving things, or being more creative, whatever it is, because we grow, we do raise our vibration. You know, that has a powerful ripple effect beyond anything we actually have to do for other people. So I think while it might seem selfish to focus on yourself in some ways, like there is a benefit for others. And taking that into consideration too, of like a deeper why, like how are you different in your family, in your relationships, in your community, at your workplace, whatever, if you're giving yourself the thing you want, you know, like there's power in that. And that is the self-empowerment part. And it's self-love to show up for ourselves in ways where we're like, I really want more of this in my life, to experience more joy, authenticity, leadership, community, space, create space, right? Like you giving yourself more space for your creations, you in 2025 and 2025, the end of that year, a completely different person. You know, you hold space for others in a different way. You know, you can guide other people who want to create creations in a new way, right? Like it's there's so much for everyone, including ourselves, when we create these intentions. And something else I just wanted to say before we start to wrap up here is another way that we can be working on the energy or aligning ourselves to the energy, because something you said was, you know, 2024 ended and you felt this build up for 2025. is tapping into what is our personal numerology, because we move through 9-year cycles in numerology, and that is something that we can see showing up in our lives. So for me, just briefly, last year was a 3-year, and it wasn't really about output. It wasn't about showing up. It wasn't about, you know, getting things out into the world. It was a very insular year. It was more about fun. It was about joy. And I actually really needed that at the start of the year. And I really want to be of service. So there was that burning in the background, but the energy wasn't there for it all year. I never had a moment where I was like, I'm ready to create. I want to put something out. And that was kind of frustrating. But at the same time, I needed this year of being inward, because the energy of 2025 from a numerology standpoint and the theme is it is about the output. But I actually feel that. And I have felt that build up, as you said, as we ended the year and went into this new year, I could feel it coming. I kind of felt like a wall. And I could feel the difference in the energy. You know, 2024 had space. That was a spacious year for me. And 2025 does. It just feels like there's more go energy to it. And so we can tap into our numerology to see where we are and what themes are present. And it might just give us a way to understand why we might sense, you know, either not a time of creation or a drive to create, or like there's lots of endings, because that 9-year of the 9-year cycles is very much about endings and closure. So it's a way for us to, again, to just tune in and, you know, see what else is influencing our experience, which I think can just help us broaden our perspective on whatever it is 2025 will bring our way from a more personal viewpoint. And how might I work with that? How might I see where that's showing up for me? And does that, you know, align with my intentions at all? Like, just from a curiosity standpoint. So that's something people can look into as well if they're feeling called to really, you know, be engaged with life in a different way, in an energetic way, because there is influence there.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we can put some links in the show notes for people in terms of where they can figure out what their numerology is and what the year means for them. And I'll just say that, like, how that's helpful is that can be helpful is, like, yes, if we're in a year that has a very certain energy, and our mind wants it to operate differently from that energy, and so we're going to fight the natural flow of what's unfolding for us. And then if we're in resistance, then it just makes it harder, and then we struggle a lot more. Mm-hmm. And rather than allowing it to be, like, what is the lesson of this energy of this year? And we can really, okay, if you know that you're year is meant to be more internal, then it's like, you know, rather than feeling you should be doing something else because maybe that's how the programming that you have from, you know, some part of your life, you can be like, okay, I can operate and you can learn how to operate in a different way.
Yeah.
Because realizing that this is what feels like wants to happen, and it's like it gives you permission to be a certain way that maybe you wouldn't have automatically chosen.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're going with the flow rather than like trying to swim upstream and fight what is happening for you, because this is part of your path and your process, and you're part of your growth journey. And so having that, I just feel like having that knowledge can allow you to settle in, and it can allow you to just be a greater peace, greater acceptance of what it is you're feeling. And and so it just like creates an openness and expansiveness. So let's put that in the show notes, and then people can let us know what year it is for you. And and then maybe people can put their words, if they have any words that they're feeling are aligned for the year for them. And maybe if you don't have any, then that's a good opportunity to see what wants to come forward in the next few days or week, or be intentional about seeing what feels present for you for the next year.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more thing too, when we talk about you know, lining to things and themes and what's present for us, we can go even more, like a little more granular to like our own harvest cycles. And that is literally, again, looking and using our astrology to each of the houses through the astrology, we have a theme. And depending when we were born, our harvest cycle, it's a full 12 months, starts at a certain time of year. And each time we're in a certain house, there's a theme of your growth. So it's something that we can, you know, tap into. And again, when you do tap into these things, you can kind of feel these energies working through you, especially if you're someone creating things or wanting to build business or, you know, has that sort of outward intention of, you know, bring something to fruition. It's another way that you can look into it. And there's a book called The Book of Houses, which we'll link to as well, that can give you that greater insight into your personal kind of, you know, natural rhythm of bringing something to fruition. So yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, words, all of that, and hope that this episode has sparked a new way of thinking about how you're going to begin the new year and set yourself up for a different experience. Hopefully 2025 brings you, well, it will bring you growth and expansion, but this is a way you can align to it in an intentional way and also be getting out of it what you want, not just what kind of life serves up. And, you know, in some ways, as you said, like do it in a way where there's sort of a less suffering when we've got this broader perspective and intentions as well for what we want to do.
Sounds good. Yeah. Good conversation.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Amanda. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.